Morning. Hello, everyone. How are you? What amazing worship. It was incredible. All right, so for those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Nami, and I am the apple of God's eye. That's what we should all be saying. That's how we should all be introducing ourselves. So this morning, I sent greetings from Pastor Stephen. So he's at the Wellard campus, so he couldn't be here this morning. We're starting a new series on the book of Ephesians, and it's called Chosen. So I'm going to do things a little bit different today in that I'm going to share a bit from a book that I wrote called Tailor-Made. When God is the Father, it changes everything. Just sections of that. Now, some of the stuff I say, you may have heard me say before, so forgive me if you've heard it before, but there is a reason you're hearing it again, because there's a message in there. I'd just like to start off with a prayer from Ephesians 1, verse 15. Let's close our eyes. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Fremantle and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you, Fremantle, will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Amen. So I'm just going to read from a chapter in the book. Says, I never got a red rose. Has anyone heard that before? No? Good, doesn't sound familiar. The dream was vivid. I saw a man at an airport holding a bunch of red roses, and in front of him was a long queue of people, all waiting to receive theirs. I was among those waiting, and when my turn came, the roses were all gone. I wondered why I had missed out. I expected to receive a rose marked with my name, and tied to it would be the message, you are special to me. Instead, the message, you are not that important, rang loud. I woke up from the dream thinking about my late father. Him and I never got to fully experience much of a father-daughter relationship. As a child, I had quite an imagination and enjoyed telling and hearing stories. One such evening saw a group of us children sit at the back of my mother's pickup truck and late into the night took turns sharing our personal experiences with our fathers. It was like a competition to see who had the most dysfunctional relationship with their father. My cousins and I had the unique experience of never having a personal relationship with our biological fathers. When I was 8 years old, my mother traveled overseas for further studies, and I remained in Botswana with my aunties, her sisters. Not long after my mother left, one of my aunties moved from the city to another town and took me with her. She raised me as her own, and I inherited a new father in her husband. We called him Uncle Ed, an abbreviation to his full name, Edson. Uncle Ed always held education in high regard, and him and I often debated all sorts of subject matter. Our conversations were always interesting, passionate, albeit not much resolution at their conclusion. Despite having a father figure in my life, I always had a longing to know my biological father. My relationship with him often felt one-sided, as on a few occasions had he taken me to meet his side of the family. My relationship with him often felt one-sided. Over the years, my father and I maintained some level of relationship with the occasional phone contact, and once in a while we would see each other. Often when I would call him, my father would say one of two things. I was just thinking of you, or I was just getting your stuff ready. I always understood that my father had good intentions towards me, but I often found myself wondering when he would deliver on his promises. I would like you to think about a time when you or someone you know felt unwanted, rejected, not belonging. As followers of Christ, we were separate from God at some point, living in sin, darkness, and clueless about our true identity, clueless about the authority we have, and clueless about the influence we possess. To some extent, some of us are still in that same place. So what does the Word of God have to say about this? Unwanted. Today we're going to walk through the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And at the core of this chapter is a message of love from God to his church, you and I. And it's for a reason. Ephesians 1, 3 to 20. So just bear with me because it's a bit long. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, this is Paul writing, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, that's you and I, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, church, I'd like you to join me from verse 16. I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Thank you for indulging me. That is your homework for the week. To read that scripture, stand in front of a mirror, not necessarily, but that scripture is important. I feel so strongly that scripture for us here at Fremantle, to just keep reading it. So that is your homework. I'll be checking next time I see you. There are five key areas I want to highlight from these verses. And these are adopted, rich, sealed, chosen, and same power. They'll come up on the screen. Adopted. In verse 5, we're told that God made a decision to adopt you and I into his family, and that it gave him great pleasure. I try to imagine what that looked like. Some of the things that give me great pleasure is a cup of tea. But some of the other things that give me great pleasure is when I hear my children talk about God. But I can only imagine what it looks like when God has great pleasure over us. It says that when he made that decision to adopt us, it gave him great pleasure. So through Christ, we were adopted into a family that we previously had no connection with. And it wasn't a random occurrence. It was a choice. It's a very special thing to be adopted. You know, out of curiosity, I did a little bit of research. And I was amazed at what I read on the Department of Communities, Child Protection and Family Support website, Government of Western Australia, about adoption. And I'd like you to think about this as I speak it out, about yourself, because you were adopted. And this is what it says. Adoption is a service that provides a family for a child who is unable, for a range of reasons, to live with their birth parents. It is a permanent legal arrangement that cuts a child's legal ties with their birth family. And I want you to imagine that your birth family, or our birth family in this case, is back there before we knew God. All ties cut. Full parental rights and responsibilities are given to the adoptive family. So God has full parental rights and responsibilities over us. This means the birth parents no longer have legal rights over the child and cannot claim back the child. Do you understand how powerful that idea is? It means the enemy no longer has legal rights over you and I and cannot claim back us. That's important because sometimes what happens to us as Christians, we get into moments where we start thinking about the devil. Especially when we get into a place of sin or feeling like we've not pleased God, we start thinking that the devil still has control, but he doesn't. It's tempting when you're adopted to get into certain mindsets, such as, I'm not the original. I'm not the authentic child of the family. Or some other version of feeling like you're not belonging or that you don't fit in. And this actually robs us as individuals, it robs us as a church, and it robs the kingdom of God of our gifts and talents. Does that make sense? Some of the thinking might be, we are not the children of Israel. We are not born into a Christian family. We are not preachers, pastors. We are not in full-time ministry. We are not Bible scholars. However, it's worth noting there is a spirit that comes with being adopted into sonship, a spirit of ownership, a spirit of belonging. The thoughts and actions of somebody who's been adopted into God's family are different to the thoughts and actions of somebody who's just passing by. And I wonder for you, do you treat yourself as a son and daughter in the house? Or do you treat yourself as a visitor who's just passing by? Something to think about. So I just want to read once again from the book. Over the years, I have had moments where I have felt an overwhelming sense of sadness. Often when I'm thinking of my father and the fact that he was never fully part of my life. As I lay next to my husband one day, it occurred to me that there are moments in life when words cannot be found. No explanation to our loved ones what we are feeling or why we are feeling that way. That is how this next poem came to be. It's called My Father's Tears. These are my father's tears. When you see me crying, distant and unresponsive, please don't fret. I'm crying my father's tears. I just want you to know that there will be days when you cannot reach me, when I'm lying right next to you, yet be a distance from you. When I cry my father's tears, please don't try and console me. I wouldn't mind, though, if you just lay there. I know you can't cry on my behalf. Otherwise, I would ask you to. In due season, when the tears have fallen and the bruise has healed, I will start to talk and let you have a peek at where the tears fell from. About 2 weeks after I wrote that poem, I attended a Christian conference in Melbourne, Australia. While kneeling and worshiping, I had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was kneeling at his feet while he stood in front of me, wearing a white robe. I held tightly onto his ankle as if to say, I am here, please don't leave me. He motioned me to get up as he helped me get off the ground. As we came face to face and our eyes met, I was mesmerized by his eyes. They were the most beautiful I had ever seen. Emerald green, so deep and so present. The Lord looked me straight in the eyes with such intensity, and he said, I am your father. I'd like you to let that sink in for every one of us. Whatever it is that has caused you to be stuck in life, the word is the same. I am your father. I was immediately taken back to the previous 2 weeks when I had written that poem. In those four words, I heard, I see you, I saw you, and I will always see you. Just like when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross and uttered the words, it is finished. I felt in that moment when he said, I am your father, that all my wars to do with my father were finished, rendered powerless. I felt like the Lord took all the rejection I ever felt about upon himself when he declared himself my father. Never again. I went on to write something else, which I won't read now, but it was called Never Again, and it was a revelation that never again will I get to that place where I act like I am fatherless. And I believe that's the message at the core of everything we take away today. Let us take away that idea. Never again should you see yourself like you are fatherless. I know the subject of fathers is different for each individual based on your experiences, but that's what God wants us to get this morning, that he is our father. And some of us have a greater connection with that idea than others. But what I ask this morning is that we just open a little bit of a door of our heart to allow that message to sink in. Back to the note from the Department of Communities, Child Protection and Family Support. It said, the child becomes a full member of the adoptive family. This includes taking their surname and assuming the same rights and privileges as if born to them, including the right of inheritance. The rights and privileges of God being your father are fully yours, fully mine, including the right of inheritance. I want to move on to the idea of rich. Verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. You know, whenever we hear the word rich, we might think millions in the bank. We might think fancy cars, spacious homes, beautiful wardrobes, shoes. For me, holidays to Africa, no more work, just tea and conversations with girlfriends. That's me. Nice handbags, endless massages. That's my version of rich. Be different for you. Here is God's version. We have been given all spiritual blessings. That's God's version of rich. The Apostle Paul goes on to talk about how we are chosen, How we have redemption through his blood. These are some of the blessings. How we have the forgiveness of sins and how we have an inheritance. You see, the thing about inheritance is that has been given is that there's really no need to strive once you have it. Just know it and live like you possess it. The problem with a lot of us is we don't know it. We read it, but it's not a revelation. Who knows, it's one thing to read a word, it's another to have revelation. Yeah? So for a lot of us, we don't have that revelation. Let's talk about sealed. Verse 13 to 14 says, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ," that's every single one of us, I'm assuming, "he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so he would praise and we would praise and glorify him." The NIV says, "When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." It says you believed, number one. Number two, you were marked in him. Number three, with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Merriam-Webster dictionary talks about a seal. And it says there were so many different definitions, but I like this one. It said, "An official mark that is stamped on paper or on a small piece of wax to show that something is genuine and has been officially approved." That's the Holy Spirit. And I looked up synonyms for seal. And think about this in relation to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit apparently is like a signature. The Holy Spirit is like a stamp, like authorization, clearance, license, warrant, accreditation, certification. The Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. Now, I know we all have different experiences of the Holy Spirit, some more than others, or so we think. But it says the minute you believed, the Holy Spirit. So whether you feel it or you don't feel it, if you know that you have believed, the Holy Spirit comes as a seal, a guarantee that you have that inheritance in Christ. Now back to being adopted and chosen in particular. Chosen. We were chosen on and for purpose. God was very deliberate in what he did. On purpose, for purpose. It said that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. In advance, it was done, way before you and I came to be. And it says, for a purpose. And here's the purpose. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Since we have been chosen on purpose and for purpose, here's our one big role. Our one big job is to honor and glorify him. One of the big challenges we have as Christians is, what am I here for? I don't know what the call of God in my life is. I don't know what I'm here for. I know that was a big struggle for me for many years. But it says there to praise and glorify him. If we do just that, we have done our job. Lastly, I want to focus on power. One of the most frustrating things is, for me, when my phone goes flat. And what happens is when my phone goes flat, I go for my laptop. Only to find that my laptop has also gone flat. And then I go for my laptop charger, only to find that I left it at home. So I can't charge the laptop so I can charge the phone. Then I think, oh yeah, I've got a portable charger. Only to get there and find there's only one bar left. and not enough power to recharge the phone. A Christian who does not connect with the Holy Spirit is operating on limited power, if any. You know, the subject of the Holy Spirit is one of those ones that, you know, I don't know a lot about except my experience. One of the first experiences I ever had of the Holy Spirit was when I went to a Christian conference. And that's where I gave my life to Christ. And one of the first things that happened when I went back to my seat was they told us to pray. And the only prayer I knew was Our Father who art in heaven. And that's what I prayed. And I said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. When I get to the third line, I started speaking in gibberish. That's what I called it. So I thought, okay, let me start again. And I started again. I got to the third line, and the same thing happened. And I did it a third time, and it happened again. And when it happened the third time, I decided, okay, I'm not going to pray again. I'll go back home, because this happened in South Africa. I lived in Botswana. I'll go back to Botswana and talk to my Connect group, and maybe they'll explain it to me. Now, the church that I went to back then, unfortunately, didn't necessarily talk much about the Holy Spirit. So when I mentioned to them what had happened, can you guess what they said to me? Pardon? A witch? Close enough. What they did say was, that is demonic. 18 years old, first encounter with the Holy Spirit. I was told that is demonic. Do you think I ever prayed in tongues again for a while? Well, I did eventually, but for a long time, I did not do it. What we say to people is very powerful. What we listen to is very powerful. But that was my first experience. But God is faithful in his own time. He showed up again and again and again to the point where me coming to this country was because of the Holy Spirit waking me up one morning and telling me, wake up. It wasn't audible in my spirit. Wake up. Go to your cousin's place, cousin's work, and ask for, I'll use Australian currency, ask for $2. And I thought, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Who gets up to go ask for $2 when it takes $2 to go there and come back? Now, I was a new Christian. Everything excited me. So I was like, okay. I got up and I went. Right next to my cousin's work is a police station. As I walked past this police station, I heard the Holy Spirit say, get in there and look for your lost documents. Now, a few weeks ago, I had lost some documents. I had lost everything that ever showed that I ever studied anything. I'd lost my identity. I'd lost everything, pretty much. That's the best way I can put it. I walk into this police station. I introduce myself, and I say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm just here to look for some lost documents. And they say, oh, there's the lost and found box. I was like, okay. Walked up to the lost and found box, looked in there, flipped through some papers, nothing. I was like, oh, Onami Matcha. I was matcha back then. Okay, that's me. Picked it up, and I picked up the next one, and the next one, and there before me were all my documents that I had lost weeks before. And I knew in that moment that the reason I had been woken up had nothing to do with going to see my cousin, but that police station. I went over to the police station, and I explained to her what happened. It was all exciting. A few days later, I'm listening to the radio. I was very courageous back then. I was listening to the radio. I'm laying there, and then I'm listening to this woman on the radio. Now, at that time, I'd applied to come to for a sponsorship to go to England, America, and then Australia was last. Because I didn't know much about Australia except Skippy and Home and Away. Everybody wanted to go to America. So I'm listening to this lady, and I thought, this woman has got such a beautiful voice. I think I need to meet her. So I got up, got in a taxi, and I went to Radio Botswana to go meet this lady. But I was 18 years old. Right next to Radio Botswana was the Ministry of Education. And something, the Holy Spirit said to me, go in there and see what's happening. So I walked into the Ministry of Education, and as I walked past, I see a room full of students. And I said to someone, who are those students? And they said, oh, those are students who are going to Australia. I was like, oh, really? Okay. And I said, could you just check if my name is on that list? And what's your name? I told her my name. She checked. And she said, yeah, actually, your name is on that list. You should be in that room. So I went in the room and I sat there and I filled in the paperwork and here I am. Now, the thing is, what had happened is they had sent the paperwork, but it got lost. But who knows, when God has a plan and a purpose for your life, nothing can stop that. It got lost, I never got it, and had I not gone there, I don't know, maybe I'd be in America now. I don't know where I'd be, somewhere else. But that is just a glimpse of the many, many experiences I've had over the years with the Holy Spirit. So he's so real to me. He's not just the Holy Spirit that we talk about. He is so real day to day. He's so powerful. He's a seal for each and every one of us. So if you're not experiencing the Holy Spirit in that way, it doesn't mean you're any less. It just means that we need to connect a bit more. We need to hear a bit more. We need to seek a bit more. And I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about just knowing that that's God's will for us, that we'd be connected to him. That's his desire. Same power. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The Holy Spirit lives within us, so there has to be an assurance in how we live our lives. You know, life can be discouraging. That's the truth. You know, when you've been a Christian for many years, you know that troubles will come your way. The Lord Jesus did say that. Troubles will come, right? Who here has never had any trouble? Abriella, because you're like the youngest. One of, you've had troubles? Okay, she's had trouble. We've all had troubles. So we were never promised to have no troubles. And sometimes it can be discouraging as Christians when we get the message that once you become a Christian, everything will be perfect, because that's not the truth. But there is a power. In the book of Acts chapter 1, just before he ascended and was taken up back to the Father, the Lord Jesus said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We prayed that this morning at the prayer meeting. And to the ends of the earth. To me, it's like whatever God has chosen is your circle of influence. You don't have to jump on a plane and go to another country. The ends of the earth for you could be right where you are. In case you are unsure or have forgotten the power of the Holy Spirit, here's a little reminder. The Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches and reminds the believer of all that Christ has said. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, including us. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in the lives of believers. The Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. The Holy Spirit guides to all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. It's amazing the number of decisions I've made because I've had a dream. And in the dream, I've had instructions. And from the instructions, I've made a decision, including marrying my husband. I'm not saying if you have a dream to marry someone, you should go and marry them. I'm just explaining my experience with dreams and connection and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. Every single one of us here has got gifts, and our gifts are different. And one of the saddest things is when we as Christians compare ourselves to the next person. But the thing is, there's only one version of you. I've said this before, even identical twins each have got different fingerprints. What's God saying? Why give identical twins different fingerprints if they are identical? They're only identical to us. The Holy Spirit helps in a Christian's weakness and intercedes for them. The Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. So just to wrap it up, with this word of God, what are we to do? Having been adopted into God's family, having been chosen to dwell in his presence, this morning we experienced his presence. It was tangible. We are to have a different posture to one who's just passing by. If you've been adopted into a family, you are to have a different posture to someone who's just passing by, someone who is just visiting. Because when you've been adopted into a family, who knows, room is made for you in the house. There's room for you in the house. For every single one of us here, there is room for us in the house. Having been given riches, we are to live free because we have options. Having been sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are to live grounded lives as he has invested everything in Christ. And therefore, he has invested everything in us. Having been chosen on purpose and for purpose, we are to live like we have direction, not aimless and lost. Finally, having been given the same mighty power, that's incredible, the same power. It doesn't say similar power. It doesn't say sort of. It says the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Most of us, when we think about somebody being raised from the dead, Christ being raised from the dead, we think that's amazing, don't we? We think that's incredible. But the word of God says that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. So that means we are not weak. That means we are not incapacitated. We are strong in God and we are powerful. But here's the problem. If I was to line a few people up here and say, can you just say that I am powerful? How many do you think would confidently say, I am powerful? How many do you think will say, I am strong? Like I said in the beginning, how many will say, I am the apple of God's eye? You see, I like talking about David. You know, David seemed arrogant to some. But David had there was just something about David. He had this confidence. He had this knowing. You know, when his wife made a big deal about him dancing in front of God, he said, you think this is a problem, the way I'm dancing? He said, I will become even more undignified than this. That was David. A lot of us can't say that. Some of it has to do with how we were raised in our families. Some of it has to do with our personalities. Some of it has to do with past unresolved issues. And some of it has to do with wrong teaching. So as I finish off, I just like to pray, because one of my gifts is prayer. And I just say that because that is the truth. Prayer. There's many other gifts that I don't have, but prayer. When I pray, I believe that something happens. But that's for every Christian. When you pray, something happens. But a lot of us don't do that because we don't believe that. So there are three areas that I'd like to pray into. One, and please, this is an important moment. This is about you, not your neighbor, not who's looking at you. I want to pray for people around the area of rejection. People who feel unwanted. I feel very strongly about rejection because that was my story with my father. People who feel like they're a nuisance, feel like they're unseen, they're insignificant. Secondly, I want to pray with for people who struggle with seeing themselves as being chosen, as being the apple of God's eye. If you're the apple of God's eye, I just read this recently, it means he has his eye on you all the time. That's how special you are. Thirdly, I would like to pray for people who have a problem hearing sensing the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I get you to just stand up. But firstly, I just want to pray this prayer. You know, 24 years ago, I was blinded to God's love. And I had an aunt who pushed me for every prayer request that was made. She was already a born-again Christian. She literally pushed me to go to the front. And I went to the front and I raised my hands and I was prayed for. And I gave my life to Christ. So I just want us to just pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me that much. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Take over. I need you. Thank you for choosing me. In Jesus' name we pray. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, please, with every eye closed, every head bowed, please raise your hand so I can see you, so I can pray for you. If that was the first time you prayed that prayer. Okay. All right. Lord, I thank you for anybody who prayed that prayer for the first time. May you meet them at their point of need.